a lesson from the second book of Samuel. Now, when the king was settled in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalm is 89:20-37. I'll be up to the asterisk when you'll finish. I have found David my servant.
With my holy oil have I anointed him.
My hand will hold him fast.
And my arm will make him strong.
No enemy shall deceive him,
nor any wicked man bring him down.
I will crush his foes before him,
and strike down those who hate him.
My faithfulness and love shall be with him,
and he shall be victorious through my name.
I shall make his dominion extend
from the great sea to the river.
He will say to me, "You are my father,
my God, and the rock of my salvation."
I will make him my firstborn,
and higher than the kings of the earth.
I will keep my love for him forever,
and my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his line forever,
and his throne as the days of heaven.
For his children forsake my law,
and do not walk according to my judgments.
If they break my statutes,
and do not keep my commandments,
I will punish their transgressions with a rod,
and their iniquities with a lash.
But I will not take my love from him,
nor let my faithfulness prove false.
I will not break my covenant,
nor change what has gone out of my lips.
Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness,
I will not lie to David.
His line shall endure forever,
and his throne is the sun before me.
It shall stand fast forevermore like the moon,
the abiding witness in the sky. Please remain seated now for the second reading from St. Paul. Sorry.
The second reading is from the book of Ephesians 2:11-22. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law from its common commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in the place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on that. And wherever they heard he was, and wherever he went, into villages, cities, or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might touch him with the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated if possible. So it's summertime. Yay! Blue sky, green grass, sunny days, open rivers. And I and some of you live right down here on First Avenue, right in front of that river. And so I watch people on boats all day and night going up and down that river. All day, all night, people going up and down that river. So think about boat rides this morning, because they're in the gospel. Think about boat rides, and they went away in a boat, it says in the gospel. So think about that boat ride, and there's Peter and James and John and Andrew and Matthew and Philip, and they're all in the boat heading down wherever they're going. Heading in the boat, and they're all talking. They're all excited. Oh, wasn't that neat? What about this? What about that? And you remember when we did this and we did that? They've all been having these big adventures. And that's when our Lord Jesus said, come away, let's go for a ride, and I'll take you someplace, to a quiet place. So they're all talking in the boat about all the adventures they've had. What about this and what about that? This isn't the boat ride when there's a storm comes up and they all have to holler, help, help, and the Lord Jesus is asleep. This is just a nice summertime day boat ride. And they're riding down the boat. They're riding down from wherever they were to this place the Lord Jesus wants to take them. And they're all talking and chattering about all the things they've been doing and da-da-da-da-da. And the Lord Jesus just kind of sits in the back next to the kicker. I guess they had to. Why not? And he just kind of smiles while they all keep talking away. He just kind of smiles back there. And they don't know where they're going. He just said, come away with me. They don't know where they're going. They know where they've been, but they don't know where they're going. And so this is just the boat ride in between, going from there to there. This is just a transition. And some part of me thinks we're always in that boat ride. We know where we've been, but we're not sure where we're going. We know what's upriver. We know what's up that way, but we're going that way, and we don't know what's there. Peter and James and John and all them sitting there in the boat, they know where they've been, but they don't know what's around the bend. They don't know what's around the other curve of the lake or wherever they are on this thing. They don't know what the future holds, and neither do you and neither do I. We're always on this boat ride, not sure what's coming in the future, but we know where we've been. We're always caught in a transition. We're always caught in transitions. There was a wedding here. Speaking of transitions, there was a wedding here Friday night. And the bride stood there, and the groom stood there, and the men there, and the women there, and there were parents and grandparents sitting where you all are. And as I was saying, all the wedding things you say, this man and this woman, you could hear parents and grandparents going, wait a minute. What happened to that little kid? How did they become a man all of a sudden? How did they become a woman all of a sudden? What happened to the little kid? Couldn't you? Yeah. You can just feel that in the room. All of a sudden there's this transition. Things aren't what they were. And oh gosh. And they stood there, of course, not having any idea what the future is, making transitions. We're always in transitions. All of a sudden, children become adults and married. All of a sudden, children become parents. All of a sudden, adults become senior citizens. Elders in training. I read an essay last week that said, I found my niche. If you're anybody over the age of 50 is a new elder, is what they were calling us. So anyway, you know, once upon a time we were just kids, and now this. So we're always in transition. We're never sure what you know, just as this couple here doesn't know what the future is going to be, but they know where they've been. We know what it was like to be younger, and now we're old. And, you know, I used to be a teenager, and now I'm 25. We're always in transition. We're not, huh? I can have my illusions. And we're always in transitions, in good ways or bad ways. All of a sudden, somebody gets a diagnosis of something from a doctor. Oh no, what does that mean for the future? All of a sudden, somebody gets some kind of news. Oh no, what does that mean for the future? We're always in this boat with Peter and James and John, making a transition to an unknown place, and we're not sure what it is. All of a sudden, someone close to us dies, and we wonder, how are we going to get through the days to come? We're always in a transition. We're always in that boat. We know where we've been, but we're not sure where we're going. We're not sure what's down. The Lord Jesus always says to us, one way or the other, come away now. Come away from where you are. I don't want to. I'm comfortable here. Whatever that is, or yay! But God, the Lord God always calls us to come away, and we know where we've been, but we're not sure what's out there. We're not sure what's around the bend. All of a sudden, things are changing, and we're not sure what's about to happen. Things have changed. Look at the first lesson. And there's big changes going on this, so you may or may not have noticed. Remember, this throughout the summer, we're following the story of David in the Old Testament. We heard about David last week dancing in Jerusalem with 30,000 people carrying the Ark of the Covenant before it gets hidden and Indiana Jones goes to look for it. Carrying the Ark of the Covenant, dancing. And just as a little small hint that we got last week, and as he's dancing up nearly naked, his first wife, Michael, looks out the window and it says she despised him. Just as a hint that life's going to get complicated. But now, here's this week. Now, when the king was settled in his house, the king, where'd this king business come from? We don't need no stinking king. We're the tribes of Israel. We all just live over in our country, in our villages, in our communities. We don't need no central authority. We don't have any kings. And that's the way it had been through all the judges. We got no king. Yahweh is our king. We're different than everybody else. We don't need no king. We don't want any king. But not that long ago from this lesson, Samuel the prophet, who's the one that shows up in Bethlehem and pours oil over weird David. Samuel the prophet, the people had come to Samuel and said, "We want a king. Everybody else has a king. Can't we have a king? Gee, we want a king." I mean, this isn't very organized, having no central leader. We want to have a king like everybody else. We want to have one central authority. This isn't working, everybody being in charge of everything. It's like the world's biggest committee. It doesn't work. We want a king. We want a real king. And Samuel said, as had been said through Moses, "Yahweh is your king." And they said, "Yeah, no, but we want a king. We want a real king. Everybody else gets a king. Can't we have a king? Please, can't we have a king? Can't we have just one person in charge? This committee system doesn't work." And Samuel had said to them, "This is how your king will treat you. He'll make soldiers of your sons. Some of them will serve in his war chariots, others in his cavalry, and others will run before his chariots. He'll make some of them officers in charge of 1,000 men and others in charge of 50 men. Your sons will have to plow his fields, harvest his crops, and make his weapons and the equipment for his chariots. Your daughters will have to make perfumes for him and work as his cooks and his bakers. He will take your best fields, your vineyards and olive groves, and give them to his officials. He'll take a tenth of your grain and of your grapes for his court officers and other officials. He'll take your servants and your best cattle and your best donkeys and make them work for him. He'll take a tenth of all your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. And when the time comes, you'll complain because of your king." That wasn't that long ago. So now all of a sudden we got a king. Samuel said all that, and they said, "Yeah, we know, but we want a king. Everybody else has got a king." "All right," says God, "I'll give you a king." So he picked Saul up to be king, and was hiding in the luggage back in the, trying to hide from him. And that doesn't work out too good with Saul, but now here we got a king again. Now the king was settled in his house. And the king is David. King David. You know, the weird one back there with the sheep. David had never set out to be king. He just wanted to sing songs to God out in the woods. "La la la, the Lord is my shepherd. La 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 la. La la la, I'm just going to hang out here in the woods with the sheep, wherever his sheep hang out, and sing songs to God. La 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 la." But now all of a sudden, David is king. Wasn't the future he planned. And he's gone through all kinds of commotions with Saul, and now all of a sudden, he's in his palace in Jerusalem, and hey, I'm king. I am in charge. I got power. I am the leader. And if I'm a king, I have to do things. I have to have policy. I have to build things. I have to do things. I'm living in this house, and there's... For church, we still got the... There's God still living in that tent over there. That, you know, kind of bunch of sticks and badger skins, and I'm living in this big house? That's not right. I'm going to make God a house. I'm going to make God a big house. And Nathan, we're just meeting Nathan. You'll hear more about him later. Nathan says, sounds good to me. And that night, God speaks to Nathan and says, I've been living in a tent all these years through Moses. If I'm in a tent, I'm free and I can go where I want to go. And I didn't say anything about building a house for me. So, David, you go tell David he ain't going to build me a house. Because maybe, see, if I'm in charge, and I'm the one person in charge, and I'm king, and if God's just kind of free to move around, maybe I want to be in, have some control over what God's going to do. If he's just in one place, I don't have to worry about him doing something weird out there in the over there. God says, no, you're not. This is a big transition. We got a king, and God says, no, you're not going to build me a house. I didn't say anything about wanting a house. Don't want a house. You're not going to build it. You don't know about the future, David? I do. And then another shift. Way back in the beginning, Mount Sinai, Moses, the children of Israel out of Egypt. God says, I'm going to make an agreement with all of you. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. That's the agreement. I'll be God, you be my people. And now all of a sudden it gets real particular. God says, I'm going to make an agreement with you, David. And the big agreement now is with one person, David, and all your family. This is a shift. The covenant is now with David and his family. You're not going to build me a house? Because I am in charge of the future. One of your children will make my house. But I will make an agreement with you, and I will always be with your descendants and your family from now to the end of time. It's the agreement that God makes. You can hear it echoed in that psalm that we read this morning. I will never take my love from you. David, who started out there with the sheep, now finds himself looking into an unknown future, but all he knows is this agreement. If you want to know how the future plays out with David, you can read it in Samuel. You'll hear some of the highlights over the next couple of Sundays. All he's got going for him is this promise from God, that I will be with you forever. We're always in that boat with Peter, James, and John and them. We know what was, but we don't know what the future holds. The Lord Jesus watches all the apostles come back, and they're all excited. He says, come away, I'll take you to a lonely place. So they all get in the boat to go to a lonely place, and they land at the lonely place, and there's 10,000 people there. 10,000 people there. The first thing you tell people when they come in for wedding counseling is, remember, marriages are... weddings are basically simple. I love you, kazumtai. Remember, weddings are pretty quick. And remember, weddings never go the way they're planned. They never go the way they're planned. But they go the way they go, and it's okay. Life isn't going the way David thought it was going to go, but it's okay. The Lord Jesus says, come away to a lonely place, and they land there on the beach, and there's 10,000 people there. At this lonely place. And the Lord Jesus steps out of the boat and says, crying out loud, what are all you people doing? Get out of here. I didn't know it was a holiday weekend. You're all going to come here. That's not what he says. The Lord Jesus steps out of the boat and says, no, no, you all got to leave because we need to be quiet and alone. That's not what he says. The verse, and I could ask the Greek people, the verse in the gospel says, he steps out of the boat, he sees the great crowd, and he steps out of the boat, and he has compassion for them. And that word in Greek that gets translated as compassion is really a strong word. It literally means stomach turning and clutching. That's how strong the compassion is. That his stomach clenches together because he loves them so much. I used to know a grandmother who... every time. something that would happen, she would say, poor things. It's that kind of voice. The Lord Jesus steps out of the boat, sees the 5,000 people at the lonely place, that they're poor things. They're just like sheep without a shepherd. Just like puppy dogs without anybody to watch over them. And his stomach clutches up with so much love and compassion, and he moves into the crowd and says to Peter, James, and John, come on over to this lonely place and see what happens. We're always in that boat going from where we were to an unknown future. We never know what the future is, except it's never going to be the way we think it is. You know, this happens to be, I think, if I got the calendar right, this is Golden Days now beginning. And the whole story begins with an Italian immigrant who found gold someplace over there and ran over here to a guy who was disgusted because he was in a place he didn't want to be and didn't plan to be here. The whole town begins with people that got lost and ended up where they didn't want to be. We're never in charge of the future. It's always unknown. And yet, standing at the doorway to that future is the Lord Jesus, whose stomach clenches out of love for you and I and says it's okay. And if we can just touch the tip of his robe, then that's enough. Amen. So I invite you to stand.
Well, people keep going around announcements before it starts to get dark.
Mostly announcements from the bulletin, but here's some other stuff. Yesterday there was a garage sale here under the leadership of Bella Jean and Mary Ellen. And a lot of people helped and lives were changed, and Mary Ellen's going to make an announcement.
I want to present you money. Now, it was a beautiful day, and I have to thank the Lord for a wonderful day yesterday because it made a difference. We had wonderful help, and the proceeds from our yard sale yesterday was
$986.13.
I want to say a big thank you to those who donated items for the sale and to those who gave unselfishly of their time to help. It was Bruce, of course, and Don Savino, Alan Mitchell, Helen Burrell, Dan Fleener, Pat Zappinger, Bonnie Hammeister, Don Jagel, Father Scott, and others. Bella Jean Savino put in extra time and money to make it a success. Also, and I am grateful to everyone for making it happen and for us to have such a good day yesterday. Thank you very much. That is the
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
She provided all the hot dogs. The hot dogs brought in lots of money.
So that was yesterday. This coming Saturday, if you haven't noticed, this is Golden Days. This coming Saturday, there's going to be a parade out there, and 7,000 people, speaking of a lonely, deserted place, are going to be here on the lawn, and we're going to be serving soup like we have every year since 1847. And as of now, I'm told all the donations, everything's been agreed to be donated. I'm asked to announce to you all who have agreed to donate things, bring them Thursday. Bring them in Thursday. By Friday noon, because this is gourmet stuff and it simmers, by Friday noon, the pot is out there cooking. So every year, they said, there's people that bring in stuff at like 7 o'clock Friday night and said, here's what I've got to donate. No, you got to bring it in. By Friday noon, it's being cooked. So if you agreed to bring something, bring it early. Bring Thursday or Friday morning. Okay? And then once we get through Golden Days and Booyah, then it's going to be time for vacation Bible school. And there's registration slips still floating around over there. And people are already planning it and working on it, and a good time will be had by all. We're still looking for a Sunday school director in case you're looking for an unknown future for this fall. Anybody else have any other announcements? Okay, here's one quick one, I guess I should say. Just because the weather's so nice and I'm so tired of looking at green grass and 70 above, I have to fly out next Sunday night to go back to Arizona. Where it's 147 in Phoenix or something. Because my mother's having surgery again. So I'll be leaving next Sunday night, but there's all kinds of people are going to be here doing all kinds of stuff. And I'll be back as quickly as I can. Please. 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 It's just hot down there. I'm sorry. Sorry. All right. Any other announcements? Are there any visitors or newcomers who'd like to introduce themselves?
I'm LaDonna Weatherman from Williams, Arizona.
Ha ha! Ha ha! Where are you from in Arizona? Where's that?
It's north.
North?
Phoenix.
Is it cool
My
there?
Fly back tonight at midnight.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. My advice is stay here. Stay here. It doesn't get dark. You don't have to. Yeah. Stay. We don't have a. Oh, we could find you a cactus someplace.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, goodness. Well, stay here too. It's nice to have you. Huh? You want candy too? You want to introduce yourself and tell them who you are? Yay! I need a candy out of you. Anybody else? What was that? Oh, okay. We have an award for the visitor that's come the farthest. What's that? That must be Arizona, isn't it? Do we think it must be Arizona? Actually, Arizona must be farthest, isn't it? There, this is for you to welcome you to Arizona. There you go. We're a classy joint here in Fairbanks. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries? Hi. All kinds of folks coming up here. It's Elvis's birthday? You think, oh, it is. Well, because we have visitors from Fort Chicon and Arizona and Colorado. Let's do first names of who we're going to pray for.
Ryan.
For Ryan.
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 For Linda.
Oh, for Linda. For Ryan and Linda?
I don't think in
yesterday?
Yesterday, I had papers.
Oh. You had one?
And they have
two. You can make a speech.
You can make a speech. Go ahead, make a speech. You got diggers? And you're 12 years old now? Okay. Olin.
I just had my birthday. I'm 66 years old, and I'm still dealing with it.
For Fred, who's dealing with it?
My cousin Connie and my brother Lee just turned 35, and we got a silver and shot the bomb. Pretty good. 20 years in there.
Wow. So for Connie and Lee.
My friend Wilma.
For Wilma.
My uncle Hugh is 98.
Really? For Hugh is 98. You a youngster. For Hugh, you have to tell him your first names. We'll just fold you into the birthday prayer.
Okay.
Brianna
and Solo. Brianna and Solo, what's their?
Ben. Ben?
No.
Yes?
No. Really? It's their fifth anniversary. No. Really? Wow. And? Lee Jean and Charlissa. Got all that? Okay. Yeah. The birthday prayer and full Brianna and Salo, who've been married 5 years, into the prayer is on page 830, prayer 50. Oh God, our times are in your hands. Look with favor, we pray, on your servants Ryan, Linda, Olin, Fred,
Connie, Lee, Wilma,
Uncle Hugh, Sal and Brianna, as they all begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Holy and gracious Lord Jesus, in this time of the year, filled with light and growth, that's a gross too. Growth and beauty. Well, even the gross stuff is pretty from the summer. We give you thanks for your friends that you brought into your creation this time of year. You were there at the beginning and sang. You've been there in the good times, and you've been there in the hard times, and you're here now. Let the grace of your love continue to be with them. The strength of your compassion continue to hold them. The joy of your angels sing them to sleep at night, that they may know how much they are loved by you. In your name, Lord Christ, we do pray for your friends. Amen.
Amen.
Happy birthday. Okay. 5 years?